Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 2 in my series on the mental health side of fitness with Jenny Meyer. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today I have on the show, actually not just today, this is a series that we are launching on the topic of mental health, the mental side of fitness, with Jenny Meyer and myself. And Jenny is a fantastic human being. She's one of our Fitfluential ambassadors. If you look her up on her website, of course, we'll link that up in the show, Jenny Meyer Fitness. You're going to look at this woman and go, wow, she's gorgeous, she's fashionable, she's fit, she's the mom of these amazing, beautiful children. Why are we talking to her about mental health and what is the mental side of fitness? Well, let me just tell you, and I guarantee you, I don't care if you're already on your fit journey and you're just in sustainability mode or maintenance mode, if you're just starting your journey, if you've hit a plateau, wherever you are, I guarantee you. And while I think this is something we see more in women, much more in women, this definitely can apply to men as well. You are experiencing to some degree pretty much everything we're going to talk about on this series. If you have bad body image, and you probably thought I was going to say bad body odor. It sounded that way as I was saying it. If you have body dysmorphia issues, if you deal with negative self-talk and you're incredibly insecure, if you experience any form of emotional eating, binge eating, extreme dieting, all of those things, stress eating, how many of us have eaten our feelings, as the saying goes? These are things that aren't just exclusive to one time in your fitness journey. It's not like just appropriate to say that somebody who's beginning to diet or start a weight loss journey is going to experience. This is stuff you experience all the time. And I firmly believe, I've certainly found it to be true myself, that your success in your health journey and your fitness journey is really going to be, it's going to be most correlated with where your mindset is. Where if you're mentally strong, if you are mentally able to deal with these inevitable challenges and emotions that are going to come up that we all have, that's when you're going to be successful. We all can figure out how to eat better. We all can figure out to a certain degree, you know, we need to move more, we need to be active. Those are not the most difficult components, in my opinion, of getting healthy and getting fit. The real battle is in your mind, and it's something that, frankly, you're going to have to deal with, all of us have to deal with on an ongoing basis. And there's so many of these topics that we don't talk about. We don't talk about enough. And so that's number one why we're launching this series, because so many of us have these issues, and because we don't talk about them enough, we're suffering in silence. Well, that stops, because I want everybody to understand that even though you have these issues, number one, know you're not alone. And number two, know there is a way to deal with them. So a little bit of background, incidentally, just a peek from Jenny's official bio. She actually obtained her degree in education and counseling, educational and developmental psychology. But she's only really gotten back into wanting to address this side of fitness with her clients. And when I heard that she was passionate about this, I said, you have to come on the show, because I found myself getting to such a better place in my fitness journey because I figured out how to deal with my mental and emotional issues. I still have them. I mean, they happen all the time. I'm just better equipped to recognize them and kind of calm down about it. And to know that we can discuss some of these issues, again, emotional eating, bad body image, and improving your body image, improving your negative self-talk, changing self-sabotaging behavior. These are all topics we're going to discuss in this series. So I know you're going to want to tune in. In the first episode here, we lay the baseline. We talk a lot about, Jenny's background, how she personally started addressing her own emotional issues and emotional eating issues, mine as well. We share that. And then that's actually the first topic that we dive into in episode 2 is emotional eating. But first and foremost, listen to this first episode. Again, this is going to be an ongoing series, so just know that whatever we're covering, we will take deeper dives into a lot of these topics because, frankly, I almost think this is some of the most important stuff that we can talk about on the show. Yes, we want to educate on food and nutrition and sleep and just in general, wellness and longevity and getting better in every area of our lives, but this mental side of fitness isn't addressed enough, and it can derail all of us. And I want everybody to understand, again, you're not alone. There's an answer to this. And let's take the shame away from talking about some of this stuff. Bottom line is we all have issues. You will learn that more clearly as you listen. So tune in, enjoy this first of this series with Jenny Meyer. Enjoy. Welcome back to episode 2 in my mini series, if you will, with Jenny Meyer. Jenny, welcome back. Thank you so much for deciding to, what a great idea that we do this mini, I'm calling it a mini series. It's, I feel like Joan Collins should be starring in this or something, but this mini series on mental health, the mental health side of fitness, health, and wellness. So welcome back. It's a pleasure to have you. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me back. I'm really excited to dive into this emotional eating. So let's do it.
It's certainly something that it's haunted me. It still does. I'm not proud or excited to say I have emotional eating issues. I think for me, a lot of my issues are like emotional stress. Like when I get stressed, I still don't understand it, but the key is I don't judge myself like I used to anymore. I'm just like, for some reason, when I get angry, I want to sabotage my diet and eat bad foods. And I'm using air quotes because really, I don't want to label food good or bad. But I definitely have a lot of emotional eating issues that I'm working on. And luckily, my trainer here too is really good at letting me confide in him and share with him. But for folks that are tuning in that they've probably heard this phrase, right? They've heard emotional eating, but there's probably a lot of people too that are like, I don't know what that is. And they might not know that what they, I don't want to say they're practicing it like a yoga practice. Well, I practice emotional eating. Yeah. I eat my feelings. Isn't that like a Tina Fey thing? But how would you define emotional eating and why is it so detrimental and such a key thing to address for having a successful fitness journey and just to be healthy?
Yeah. So basically emotional eating is eating in a way that really soothes your emotions or is a way to make yourself feel better. So major life events, stress, whatever is going on, like you get sad, you just, you don't feel good that day, whatever it is, you turn to food to fill that void in your life. Rather than just eating to satisfy your hunger and your physical, hunger, you're eating for that emotional hunger. So it gets super dangerous when you are on this health and fitness journey that your primary coping mechanism when stress or even boredom or anything in your life comes is when you turn to food. So it's very, very dangerous. And I get asked a lot, so if I use food as a reward or to celebrate something, is that okay? And yes, when you occasionally do that, totally fine. But when it's a regular occurrence, and when you go to doing it in private, like we've talked about before in the past episode, is when you hide what you're eating, you do it by yourself, that's really emotional eating, and it's so detrimental.
It's so, and I know that there's a lot of women, I still, I mean, there are still times I'm going to say I'm 90% better. And a big part of what's helped me deal with my emotional eating is, frankly, there's two things, you know, just the Fitfluential movement, if you will, or our community at large, being accountable. And, you know, social media can be bad in so many ways, with distorted body images and people photoshopping themselves. And I mean, there's danger everywhere, right? But it also can be so good, because I truly can't tell you how many times I've had a really down day and I'm upset and I go to Instagram and I'm like, oh, Amanda Latona worked out today. I better, okay, if she, all right, I'm going to do it. And if Ashley Horner can get into, you know, this foreign country and it's 11 o'clock at night and she doesn't feel like it, but she wants to get her training and she did it. These are things that have really happened. Yeah. I'll go, okay, I can do it. And I always feel better. So for me, the not hiding and not suffering in shame and by myself and hiding my behaviors. Like, there are times when I've done something and I've gone out on a sugar binge, and by sugar binge, I just mean like, oh my gosh, you know, I have a craving and it's okay. I'm training really hard and things are going really well. I kind of got a little cocky with our Faster Way to Fat Loss program and the whole donut thing on leg day. And I started to have a few more of those things creep in, because this is something we have shared the past 5 or 6 weeks. I got a little cocky, and every time I trained really hard and had a huge deadlift day, I'm like, oh, I think it's donut day again. And I did that more often than not, and I hadn't realized it. But when I share that, instead of, you know, again, I'm using air quotes, suffering and shame, it more people will go, you know what, I had it too. And I feel it's almost like a confessional, but it keeps me from, I don't know, self-loathing. And it helps me just, it's almost like your friends out there on social and in our community can be a therapist. For me, at least, it is. And accountability has taken my ability to deal with emotional eating to a completely different level. But for those, again, that are new, that are probably doing this, you know, what you mentioned doing certain practices in shame. What other things can you say? Because again, there's a lot of people that don't realize, oh, this is emotional eating. I've got to have a handle on it. What are some very typical behaviors that you see? And on a second, my second part of this question is, number one, what are typical behaviors that you see in emotional eating? I'm sure you can just label everything that I've done, you know, buying things, throwing them away, wanting to throw them in the trash so that they're not even around, putting them down the garbage disposal so you can't eat more, pouring ketchup on them. I've done them all. Is this something as well, once you identify some of the behaviors, that's more common in women than men? I'm just curious.
Yeah. And it's funny, because in my community of women that I train, and we do this all virtually, but we talk about this all the time. And it is that accountability and support, just to almost like a confessional. But if anything, before I dive into like how to recognize it, but if anything I can say is get a support system, find someone, whether it's an online community, a friend, where you can confess to, so you aren't doing it alone and you aren't hiding in shame. So some of the things that I see a lot in the women that I work with in my fitness community that I train is, are you continually rewarding yourself with food? Is it always about food? Do you eat more when you're stressed out? That's a huge one, because as women, yes, I do. I find myself on the brink of like being stressed out, a stressful day, and sitting down like, well, I just want that because I can, because I'm grumpy or whatever it is. So how much are you eating when you're stressed out? And if you are eating when you're not hungry, that is huge. If you're eating only because you want to, and it's going to make you feel better, that's the number one way to recognize that this may be an issue for you. And also, if you're feeling out of control with food, so does food control you? Do you not know what to eat, so then you just eat everything, and not knowing how to control what you put in your mouth? Another one is huge, is the fear of missing out when it comes to food. Mm-hmm. And this is huge with women, and in just today's day and age with social media. I mean, you can the latest and greatest Starbucks drink that comes out there. Do you want to do it because everyone else is doing it? You don't want to miss out on tasting whatever that unicorn drink was a while back.
Right.
Like it was all over social media. And do you find yourself going and getting that and putting those like however many grams of sugar, like 100 grams of sugar in your body because you don't want to miss out, because you want to say that you have done it and you've tried it. And I find that with so many women. I mean, I struggle with that at times. And like you said, the donut day on leg day, you don't want to miss out on your donuts, right? Everyone else is having a donut after their leg day. But the biggest thing with that is, do you have extreme guilt after you do that? After you partake in something, does just this sense of guilt come on and you know you shouldn't have done it? And then literally that then leads into self-sabotaging, which that's a whole nother episode in itself, because that's when you just keep on going and you keep on, well, I had one, so I'm going to have two. Well, now today is just screwed all together, right? So now I'm going to have the whole cake. And that's where I struggle the most with, is the self-sabotage and that guilt. So those are the biggest things I think that you can ask yourself with recognizing if this may be an issue for you. And yes, as far as the emotional eating with women, in everyone that I work with, granted, it's primarily women, but we have a lot more emotions than men, I feel like. And I do think it's more prevalent because we deal with stress differently. And I think that some men do struggle with it as well. But women just deal with stress differently and they do it in secret. Men, I see a lot of times when they're stressed out, they get mad and punch something. Whereas women, we just go and like hide in our corner and eat the chocolate cake.
It's my observation. This is just, I don't have data to back this up, but it seems to me that men tend to drink more alcohol. Mm-hmm. And they will soothe or self-medicate with alcohol.
Yeah.
I definitely see that. Whereas women tend to, you know, their therapist is going to be, we have a lot of folks that have issues with wine or beer or drinks, you know, social drinking, and that's a whole other effect. Yeah. As you were talking, I thought, because you mentioned guilt, and I had actually written in my notes, guilt about, you know, you do something bad and then you feel guilty about it. Yeah. And it can start a whole other series of behaviors, beating yourself up, blah, blah, blah. I think the key to remember for everybody, as you're starting to look into this, it's kind of the opposite way of, you know, we say we're helping you find your fitness. I think in this case, you have to find what your triggers are. You have to find what your And we're all unique, but here's the deal, everybody. We all of us, the most ripped person you see on Instagram has issues. Everybody has problems that they deal with food. I've talked to some of the fittest people. I certainly would never mention names, but I remember when I first started the company, I've met a couple people and they're, you know, they seem to have it all together. And this one person's like, well, I chew up my food and I spit it out. And I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? Yeah. And, you know, I felt bad because I immediately was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you do that. Well, guess what? But Kelly Alexa has bought things like Oreos or some, you know, massive sweet thing. I can't tell you how many times, a whole ton of them at the grocery store, secretly come home, eaten a ton of it, ordered Giordano's pizza back in Chicago and eat a ton of pizza. And then I'd be like, oh, I'm going to do this because I've fallen off the wagon. And I'd be like in my apartment hiding, going, I'm going to eat this. And then I'm embarrassed. I'm full of shame. And then I finish it, throw it all away, take it out to the trash can. And then I would literally be walking to the trash can in those days, worried that somebody in my apartment complex would see me and go, oh, she just ordered Giordano's pizza and was eating by herself. She's such a loser. So you've got to figure out, I'm sharing my dorky, and I'm okay with it. Like, I'm sharing with you guys and with Jenny what goes through my mind, because I've learned to be comfortable with it. It doesn't mean I'm proud of it, but I'm sharing it with you guys because we all have issues. It doesn't matter. I've got issues. My sister has issues. My mom has issues. We all have our own thing. And the more that you feel comfortable going, you know what, for some reason, here's what I do. Then you can start to go, okay, not only do a lot of other women and other people have this and they struggle with it and they found a way to, I don't think you ever really solve them. You just figure out a way to deal with them.
Yep.
But that's when you can then go, okay, so I tend to do this. Why am I doing that? And you can peel back the layers. But yeah, everything you said about folks that are, you know, these are the signs of emotional eating. If you eat more with stress, if you eat when you're not hungry, food is a reward. All of those things, I would say, would you agree, Jenny? I almost think it's rare. It's more rare for women that have no emotional eating issues. I almost think it's more common that everybody has emotional eating issues. Is that crazy for me to suggest?
No, I think you're right on. I mean, even this is literally last night for me. I was in a social setting and one of my friends is an amazing baker. And she brought a bunch of different cakes. It was a get together. There's probably about 70 women there. And I told myself going there, you know, like I didn't work out today. I'm going to not have any treats. And I get there and it was the fear of missing out for me. And so I'm, this is no joke. Last night I had 4 pieces of cake last night because I wanted to try.
Awesome.
Yes. I wanted to try every single one. And even like me as a personal trainer, I own a gym. I work with hundreds of women online in online community settings. And I totally failed and gave into my emotions because I didn't want to miss out. I rationalized it in my head. And then I got home and I totally had that guilt last night. Like, what did I do? Like, really? And I could have woken up this morning with that same sense of guilt, but instead I know the tools to get out of it. And how, like, I know that that's my trigger is social settings for me and that fear of missing out. But I woke up this morning, you know, it's a new day. I'm going to be on track. Yeah, I had enjoyed probably a little bit way too many treats last night. And so today I'm going to be on track. And today I'm going to back to tracking my food, tracking my macros, and I will be on point today. I'm going to get my workout in as scheduled and get over it. So I'm not going to dwell in that. And I'm not going to continue to let that guilt overcome. And that's when it can spiral out of control is when you let it just overtake you. So it is so important to find your trigger. It could be literally, it could be situations, it could be places, people. Do you eat when you're bored? Is that a trigger? Because if it is, you have to recognize that and you have to put things in place that get you through it. Yes, I totally agree that everyone has it. I 100% agree with that to some level, because even if it is just you're bored and you're eating, that's still considered emotional eating because you're eating because you're bored, not because you're hungry. Mm-hmm. So I totally agree with you.
I think too, that this might sound a little Oprah, but you almost have to, because I think about Jenny, like you and I can sit here and you just said that. You're like, here's what I did last night. And you're mm-hmm. comfortable sharing that.
Yes.
You didn't.
Yes.
I didn't hear you on the other end going, like, I didn't hear this big gulp where you're like,
mm-hmm.
okay. So like, it was okay for you to say it.
And
as you said, I'm back on track today. You recognize that you did this. It was off your plan. I'm also okay sharing my weird, you know, issues. Here's what I do when I've recognized in the past 5 or 6 weeks, you know, for me, really sugary foods, not only do they give me physical symptoms, headaches, and then the headaches were causing me to take a lot of Excedrin on a regular basis. A lot of Excedrin on a regular basis was giving me a situation with my stomach where my doctor's like, you're getting an ulcer. Now, of course, stress goes into that too, but sugar causing headaches causing Excedrin 3-4 times a day, and me not even trying to figure out like what's going on here. And guess what? The more I ate more sugar and gave myself more treats, it was like, I was like a rabid dog. I'm like, give me some more donuts. I can get donuts today. And I had to recognize that. Do you think I'm proud to say mm-hmm. that on this podcast? Like, mm-hmm. hey guys, guess what? I just went crazy with sugar for a month, but I did. And so to me, back to me saying I'm getting kind of Oprah here, I think you almost have to get to the point where you befriend your issues, befriend your triggers. Don't look at them like there's something to conquer. I mean, you're going to, right? But like sometimes we look at our problems or things that we're not good at and we're like, I've got to get rid of this. I've got to stop binging. I've got to, why don't you just look at it and go, this is part of what my issues are. And the more that you can have, back to what you said, I think the key in so many, we're probably going to bring this up in every episode on the series, having the support system, whether it's one-on-one with your trainer, or whether it's with your trainer, in my case, with your friends on social media, the FitFluential community, that's, I'm telling you, such an amazing, when I'm down, I put it out there. I'm like, you guys, I am down. I feel bad. I really had a bad week. I didn't work out this. More people will dive in and lift you up and encourage you than you can possibly imagine. But going at it alone, that's a dark alley that you don't want to stay in. And I think that it's so key. But do you... Is what I said, it can be cheesy, but do you agree, like, instead of us punishing ourselves going, oh my God, I can't be around candy or M&Ms without, you know, overeating, like, just understand, like, be comfortable with, that's your trigger. Because guess what? There's a billion other women and men out there that have that same trigger. Does that make sense? Being comfortable with what your triggers and your issues are?
Yeah. And just, and being aware of it and knowing that sometimes you totally will fail. And that's okay. So not getting to the point to where when you do fail and you do have those four pieces of cake, not to get so hard on yourself and so down. But once you become okay with your triggers and you recognize them, you know what's happening, that's when you get to the point to where you pick up the pieces right afterwards and you're like, okay, yep, that sucked, you know? Yeah. But I'm right back at it. So you absolutely have to know and get comfortable with your triggers.
I, when I'm thinking about how you shared your, you know, this is what you did last night. And then you were able to say with yourself, hey, it was my fear of missing out. You know, for me, I certainly was able to step back after it was I was 5 or 6 weeks of just craziness. I traveled, you know, you and I were out in Scottsdale for 2 weeks. Yep. I didn't get my training in. I was not letting, and there were a lot of just mental issues that I had to, okay, why was I not going to the hotel gym when I was around all these people? Why was I feeling embarrassed about my body? And what I'm going to suggest for everybody listening is, you know, this is going to be a pretty long series because the more that we talk, Jenny, I'm writing notes going, that's an episode. We need to do this as an episode. There's really quite a lot here. But what I want to encourage everybody listening to understand is the more that you really embrace, okay, I've got issues. I'm going to unpack them and figure it out. It will help you get to the point where, like Jenny, and I'm even going to say like myself, you figure things, you figure out when you've gotten off track faster and you get back on track faster because you're not beating yourself up. You're not, you know, mental self-flagellation, right? You just have the ability to get back on track. I think the way that people let their mental health issues derail them is when they are not telling anybody, they're suffering in shame, and therefore they're probably going to think they have that perfectionism mindset, like, I've ruined everything. So many people that did what you did last night, whether it's four pieces of cake or a whole Giordano's pizza, they're going to think, you know what? I've screwed everything up. I was supposed to be low carb. I've got to start all over. And then they're going to go on a bender. Whereas they had the support system and they were comfortable going, why did I do that last night? And kind of figuring out and going, it's okay, that it's going to be different. Do you agree with that? Like that such that as you start unpacking your issues and kind of, again, being okay that they're always going to be there, let them be that friend that hangs out in your house. They just, you know, they're not going to take over your house. It actually makes your fitness journey easier because you're not fighting it in a way.
Yeah, it's so true. And even when you get to that point, you have to accept that you're still going to have some bad thoughts come into your head. That's going to happen. And I mean, even for me, I start rationalizing it like, well, I screwed up Friday night. So now, you know, I was going to work out tomorrow on Saturday, but it's a Saturday, you know, and I start like going through this process, like, well, maybe I shouldn't work out. Maybe I'll just start over on Monday.
I do that.
Right. And you, that's the biggest thing, is you cannot do that. You cannot keep putting it off, because then you do go on a bender for a whole weekend. And it's so much harder to pull yourself out of it. If you can catch it and recognize it right when it happens, then, and forgive yourself in that moment, it is so much easier than the next day to be back on track and make healthy choices. Even though in the back of your head, you have that little voice saying, well, no, just push it off, like enjoy two more days, but it's not good for your body overall. And just getting to the point to recognize if you are emotional, are you eating for emotional reasons or physical reasons? Like, are you actually hungry? And there's ways to like, just ask yourself, like, are you eating to the point to where you're so full, but you don't feel satisfied? Because last night I was not satisfied. My stomach, I was so full and so bloated, but I was not satisfied. Like, I could have kept eating because I didn't get the nutrients that I needed. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, that was emotional eating and not eating because I was physically hungry. And you get to the point where you lose track of what you're eating, like 4 pieces of cake. Are you serious? I totally lost track of that because I just wanted to try everything. And even thinking back, I probably had well more than 4 pieces. And so I totally lost track of what I was eating. But when you're eating because you're physically hungry, you know how much you've eaten, you know when you're full, and you know when to stop. So there's just two different things, to where when you eat for physical hunger, you don't have that guilt. When you eat for emotional hunger, you have so much guilt and so much shame, and you hide. So yes, find someone, that person for you. It could be a trainer in person. It could be a trainer online in an online community, a friend, whatever it is. Find your support system.
It's pretty amazing too, because, you know, hearing you go through that, and again, I've gone through it. So many women, I know so many women listening to this series, we're going to get so many questions. Mm-hmm. And people going, thank you for doing this, because I've been there. I'm still in there. And I know so many women deal with this, but you know, when I hear that you've had these times where you're like, well, you know, I did that, maybe I'm not going to work out tomorrow, because I think it's almost like a body at rest will stay at rest. Yes. It's the same concept. I've always said, if you have a kick-ass day on Wednesday and you were awesome with your macros and what you ate, you had an awesome training, you know, for me, like training with Blaine, that's going to pretty much be what my body and my mind is going to want to do. I want to repeat those endorphins. I want to repeat how that felt. I want to repeat how strong and awesome I feel. And it bleeds over into everything. It bleeds how you feel in your clothes, everything. When you binge or cheat or indulge or get off the wagon, and then you've probably already missed a workout too, the next day, your brain, in my opinion, is going, you know, I already feel bad. I might as well make myself, you're not saying that, but that's really what's going on. You're like, well, I might as well keep making myself feel bad. Really what you haven't taken the time to recognize is, this is just my brain, and it's human nature to think I've screwed up. I might as well screw up some more. Do I really want to do that? And so whether it is the thing that'll start to happen, everybody, when you start to address your mental issues, when you don't judge yourself for having these mental issues. That's kind of what I meant when I said earlier, like, become friends with your triggers, your issues. Just don't judge yourself for them. Because guess what? I'm pretty sure it's clear from this episode and from the people that I know are going to write in, you're not alone. So stop judging yourself and beating yourself up for your issues. The more that you ask for a support system, the more that you become comfortable talking about your issues, you will be able to unravel them faster. So back to what Jenny said, you know, she knew she could feel herself going, you know what, I'm just going to take it easy this weekend. Like, I've done that after I've been sick. Your first 2 days back, you're tired, you're not feeling it. Your body doesn't have that feeling of its muscles having been worked. And so you're like, I'm just going to take 2 more days off. I'm going to loaf on the couch. You know what? I'm going to have some nachos. But if you start to go, why am I doing that? And you either tell your trainer, or you tell your friend Jenny, or you go on Instagram and you connect with somebody, you'll know what the tools are that work for you that will pull you out of that bad place. You will become more comfortable. I call it like being your own Columbo, being your own therapist, discovering what's going on instead of just beating yourself up for it and going down a bad road. So to me, number one, I think we've established on this, you know, episode with emotional eating that there's, it's a Pandora's box. There's many aspects to emotional eating. Number two, we all have it. Number three, one of the biggest ways to start addressing emotional eating issues is get that support system, whatever that looks like for you. My trainer and Jenny, you and I have talked about this. Yeah. I mean, my friends, Amanda, my text friend, Sherry, I have legions of friends that depending on what my emotional issues are, I can reach out. And I still will remember, this is probably a good example as we're wrapping up for me to share with people why you have a support system. I'd gotten to the point about a year and a half ago, down the road of my, I've been taking bioidentical hormonal replacement treatment, and I've got a host of issues, Hashimoto's, insulin resistance, you know, testosterone, estrogen, all off the charts in the worst ways. And I was getting to the point where I was not seeing any results, and I was embarrassed and full of self-loathing and doubt and negativity and insecurity. And I was to the point where I'm like, I was seeing at this time a doctor in Arizona. This is before I'd met Dr. Sebring. And I wanted to give up. And I remember I was like, you know what? Every time I get better with my diet, I'm working out, I'm gaining weight around my core, all of this stuff. And I texted my friend Sherry, and I was being a drama queen. I'm like, I'm done. I'm going to give up. I might as well eat whatever I want, or maybe I'm just going to starve myself. And, you know, she wrote to me and I said, I'm not going to go to the doctor anymore. I'm tired of paying thousands of dollars. Nothing's working. I must be the only one. How many of you have said that? I must be the only one that can't get fit. I know legions of women have said that. And my friend Sherry goes, well, okay, I understand how you feel, but are you saying you want to choose to give up because all the work you're doing can't really be making you worse? You know, ultimately it's better for you. Are you saying what you'd rather do with your life is pig out every day and get hugely fat and unhealthy and look awful and feel worse than you are now? Is that really what you want to do? And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. No, I don't. But you know what? If I hadn't reached out to her and confided in her, her saying that to me via text changed everything. And I remember I gave it, you know, even more of my time and certainly fast forward to today. I'm so glad I stayed the course. But if I was suffering alone and dealing with my emotions and my insecurities alone, I never would have gotten to this wonderful place today where I can say, I'm 48. I can't wait to see what I look like at 52 or, you know, 60. It's an awesome feeling. So love what you said about the support system, because I think that would be, if you could tell as we close up this episode, and you guys keep tuning in, because Jenny and I are going to probably record, who knows, maybe this will just be one episode a week, Jenny.
Yeah.
I think there's enough there to unpack. But for people that are listening that know they have issues, what would you say is maybe, you know, would you say that getting, I don't want to feed you the answer, but I kind of just did. Do you think that getting that support system, like connecting with somebody on your issues, could be that first big step? What would you recommend? What do you recommend to your clients that is, what's the first step they can do is start addressing emotional eating issues?
Yeah. So for sure, that support system is going to be number one. But once that's established, you can also do other things. You can, once you identify your triggers, you turn the table on them and you make it fun or relaxing. So when you feel anxiety and stress coming in to where you want to turn to food, turn to a bubble bath or grab a blanket. And that's when you have a cup of coffee. Yeah. Or something. Watch a movie. When you're bored, get outside away from the food, like remove yourself, drink water, chew gum, go make that the time that you get your workout in or go for a walk. Exactly. So it's knowing your triggers and then finding a replacement for food for those things. And it starts in the head. It so starts in the head and in your mind. And I want to maybe wrap up with this quote that I read quite a while ago. I don't know who wrote it, but it's basically talking about your willingness to change your mind, your mindset. So it goes like this. I am willing to release old negative beliefs. They are only thoughts that stand in my way. My new thoughts are positive and fulfilling. So if you repeat that to yourself every single day, your mindset can change and your emotional eating can get better, and you can recognize it, you accept it, that it is your friend, right? You know that there's going to be times where you fail, but you have the tools to get past it. And just repeat that over and over, that these are just thoughts in my head and they're standing in my way. So if I replace them with the positive and fulfilling thoughts, I can do this and I can reach my goals.
Will you text me that? Seriously.
Yes. Yeah.
Because one of the things that I swear by, and I notice it when I am not in my, I read a book in the past year. It was a business book, but they were talking about women and how we can get so overwhelmed and overrun by our schedule. And she talked about incorporating rituals into your day that, you know, are just, and that's what I do. When I wake up every morning, I make my amazing coffee that I love. Yes. And I, you know, have my kind of prayer and my, I read out of certain, you know, devotionals every morning. And then I have my prayer time and my meditation time. And those are my rituals every morning. And when I'm off, and I don't do that before I start reading emails, before I start diving into business, I notice it in my level of stress. Anxiety will creep in. I have a negative attitude, whatever. But also affirmations. When you learn to catch yourself talking down, and again, goes back to the accountability. When you start having other people that you share, like, hey, I have a really bad body image, I tell my trainer everything. And he knows. When I went in to see him last week, I'm like, here's what's been going on with me. I've been sick and I figured this stuff out, and he just sits and listens. And the fact that he doesn't judge me, but he's also like, okay, well, let's develop a plan together. Yeah. It's so much better. So I really encourage you guys. There's so much meat. I probably shouldn't say that when we're talking about food.
Food.
Discussion. And this is really great. So number one, I do encourage everybody that you're listening. This is, you know, episode 2 in my series with Jenny on the mental health side of fitness. And it's so important. And I so want it for every, particularly women out there. And we have such a strong female audience. I want women to be able to feel comfortable again with themselves, to get where I am, where I've been so filled with insecurity and self-consciousness and self-loathing for so long that when I've gotten out of it, and it's a journey, I feel so much better. And when you surround yourself with people that will pick you up when you're down, getting on this journey of being able to deal with your emotional eating and your mental health, or the mental health side of this, it's a life changer, and it will bleed over into all the other areas of your life. So I really encourage all of you to keep tuning in, listening to these episodes, listen to them again and again. We're going to keep taking deeper dives, and we'll probably revisit many of these issues. Maybe we'll do some Facebook Lives. But let us know if you have questions. If you have questions in particular that you'd like to have Jenny and I cover on future episodes of this series, you can write to us at podcast@fitfluential.com. And in the subject line, say, questions for Jenny Meyer, or questions for Jenny Meyer interviews. And Jenny and I will share that, and we'll make sure that we address it. And certainly, you know, this is a good place. Jenny, tell people that are listening where they can find you online. And of course, we'll share this in every episode, and it's also in the show notes on Fitfluential Radio. But where can people find you if they have questions and want to see what you also offer as far as training and services on your website?
Yeah, so it's jennymeyerfitness.com, and my last name is spelled kind of funny, so it's M-I-R-E, so J-E-N-N-Y-M-I-R-E fitness.com. Also on Instagram, Jenny Meyer Fitness, Facebook, same thing. I would love to chat. I would love to offer free fitness consultations. I do that. So go to my website, schedule out a free fitness consultation. And I just love to hear their stories and see, you know, anything that I can offer to help guide them in the right direction.
Awesome. Awesome. This is, Jenny, I'm so glad that we started this because now that we've really, even though I knew it was going to be great, now that we've started talking about it, I just know how many women are going to tune in and be like, wow, I feel so much better. I don't feel alone. And they're going to know they have hope. And I do know that having hope again about your fitness is so key. I didn't have hope for several years. For me, it took getting blood work done and starting to see, you know, my first doctor on the bioidentical stuff, because I felt like a big loser. And you know what? Part of that, I was suffering alone. I didn't want to tell anybody that I wasn't getting anywhere. I didn't want to show anybody my body. I didn't want to go to the gym. I didn't want to be seen. I wore all black all the time. And yeah. I think fast forward to how much behaviorally I've changed towards myself and about myself. And it's really manifesting in many ways. And a lot of that just has to do with, I feel better about myself where I am, no matter where I am. You know, I'm more forgiving of myself. That's the way we all should be. So yes. Jenny, again, this was just episode 2 what's going to be a series of many, many episodes on this topic of mental health. So thank you so much. We will certainly be back, everybody. I encourage you to tune in. This is episode 2. If you haven't listened to episode 1, listen in. That's a great introduction to Jenny. Certainly look her up online and make sure you tune in, because we'll have, again, more episodes going live in this series in the coming weeks. So thanks everybody for tuning in, and we will see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to episode 2 on this series of The Mental Health Side of Fitness with Jenny Meyer. Please stay tuned for future episodes.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.